You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Brought to you by Disney.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 166 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
It's Brutal Dave.
And hi. George Tripsis.
The band's all back together.
Woohoo!
What's up, everyone?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's going on?
Same old.
You're leveling up?
Yeah, I'm leveling up.
What are you playing?
Elder Scrolls Blades.
Leveling up stuff.
Did you know they released a Dr. Mario game?
I have
game?
It. I downloaded it.
Yeah. Addicting.
Is it a free
I've
game?
I've only played like...
Yeah. But I'm sure you'll reach areas where, you know, you can't get past without...
Fucking free-to-play games, my ass.
Yeah. Free-to-play. It's
whatever.
Free.
Whatever.
Supposedly.
Anyway, how have you been, sir?
I'm all right. It's been a while.
Yeah, sure has.
What have you been up to?
Celebrating my 34th birthday.
Oh, you're getting old.
It's getting up there.
Sure you are.
I'm closer to death than I am from being born.
That's not true.
Maybe. You don't know that.
I am. You're not.
I could die tomorrow.
It's true. Depends on how this episode goes.
That's right. I might just shit all over everything y'all guys enjoyed this summer, and I'll be
probably get
killed before the episode's over.
I know
over.
We're going to talk about a lot of the movies that we've seen over the summer, some of the blockbusters.
Summer entertainment.
Opinions, but we're going to get to that in our topic.
Ooh.
But have you guys been doing anything else? Any TV?
Anything special?
Can I talk about a game that I've been playing?
Sure, go ahead.
I am like 25 hours into this game. That's only like maybe a 15-hour... Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Holy crap.
I'm here to tell you it's not a game. What you're doing is called life.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably true, too. Do you know what this game is?
I've never heard of this game.
It's basically...
Bloodstained Ritual... What?
Ritual of the Night.
Ritual of the Night.
It's a modern successor to Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Oh, I'd probably hate this.
You probably would.
Yeah.
It's a complete... Metroidvania game. I'm like 92% on the map right now. I've already beaten the game, but I'm going back and trying to get 100% on everything. It's so addicting. I freaking love these type of games.
Okay.
I can't recommend it enough, truthfully.
I don't play those kind of games, Dave.
I do sometimes.
It's freaking awesome.
What platform is it on?
All of them, actually.
Oh,
PS4,
cool.
Xbox. I'm playing it on Xbox One, but it's also... I think there's a Switch version, but I heard the Switch version isn't very good. There's a lot of technical problems.
Nintendo.
Speaking of, on a tangent, did you hear about the Nintendo Switch Lite?
I saw a lot of images online about it.
They announced that this morning. So it's basically... It's going to be $199. It's basically...
It's a smaller version of the Switch.
A handheld-only version of the Switch. You can't plug it into your TV. You can't do any of that kind of stuff. And the controllers
are
built into
it. It's a Game Boy.
It's a Switch Game Boy. Exactly what it is. People complain.
Isn't that what the Switch is, though?
The way I play it, it is.
Yeah, that's how I play it.
Yeah.
I take it on trips with me, and I play it on trips.
See, I've only played mine on the big screen. No. I haven't played it very much, though. I've only spent a few hours on it, and I'm usually playing with my kids. So.
Also, I got mine during the Black Friday sale when it was $200. So, no thanks, I guess.
You got it for $200?
Yeah, for Black Friday last year.
See, that's a good deal, because the new one is going to be $200, like $199. I'm like, eh. I love my Switch. I play it all the time.
I don't play it as much. I'm waiting for that new Luigi Mansions game.
Yeah. A buddy of mine has Mario Maker 2.
Yeah.
And he spends his hours just fucking designing levels. Sadistic, hard as hell levels.
See, I would just be a troller on those games. I would never make a level. I would just play the levels.
Yeah, I don't have time to make levels. That's exactly what I would do. But the new one has a story mode into it.
Oh, cool.
Sort of. It's not super in depth, but you know, you get to play through 100 different levels, so
that's pretty cool. Bad. Yeah.
But back to Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. I wholeheartedly recommend this game. It's probably my favorite game of the past few months.
Yeah.
As soon as I beat it, like 100%, I'm going to start it over. That's how much.
It's kind of like how I am with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm on my third go around on Spider-Man.
I just got my copy back over the weekend. I let somebody borrow it. I'm like, I'm going to go back and play that game now.
Yeah. I'm on my third playthrough on that game. It's awesome.
But yeah, Bloodstained, it's really a successor, and it's producer of the original Castlevania series, Koji Igarashi. So the guy who actually created the original Castlevania games couldn't get the rights because Konami didn't want to, you know, make Castlevania games. So he kickstarted this like 4 years ago. And
you finally come out with the game.
Yep.
Wow.
But they had a prequel that came out, another Bloodstained game. I can't remember what it is, but that was more 8-bit Lego from level to level to level type of game, which is a lot of fun too, though.
Right on.
Yep.
That's cool. Dave?
Actually, I'm going to stop the show right now. I'm going to go play it now.
Oh, that's boring.
Good night.
I'll leave y'all.
Well, that was a quick episode, everyone.
What have you been up to, Dave?
Man. Saw Spider-Man this morning.
Woohoo!
We'll talk about that later.
We definitely will.
God, what else have I seen?
Saw Stranger Things.
Yeah, watched Stranger Things.
Do you want to talk about that?
July 5th.
You can if you want
to. I finished binging it last night.
Whole thing on July 5th.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I watched the whole thing on July 4th.
I was busy blowing things up. We blew up a lot of things. You remember I told you what the budget was?
Yep.
He doubled it.
Wow.
We went out and spent the budget he gave us, and then he went out and did the same thing.
Jesus Christ.
So there's like a crater in our backyard now.
Wow.
My dog was going insane during fireworks.
Yeah.
Like he was running from the back door to the front door. You know, he probably thought the end of the world was happening.
Either my dog is getting braver or, as my wife pointed out, he's maybe going deaf. But he handled it a lot better this year than he has in years past.
My dog
is just ringing. That's all he hears all the time.
He was a panicked mess the whole night. But usually, it takes him like 3 days before he'll go outside unassisted.
Oh.
Like it does not do
fucked good. Him over really good.
Yeah, yeah. He's been a little bit more like on his meds this time.
Yeah. Last year
got that Xanax working out pretty good.
Before my dog passed away, she was almost completely deaf. She couldn't hear anything. It was great.
Yeah.
Before that, it was like, you know, dogs really.
The joy of having an old dog.
It's true.
Yeah.
Until.
So, yeah, I didn't blow up anything on 4th of July.
I did in your stead.
There you go. So. People around my neighborhood did for me, and I didn't want to deal with the crowds. So.
Our neighborhood doesn't have any fireworks ordinances. We're a mud district.
So
we're
you can not, do whatever the fuck you want.
We can do
want.
Whatever the hell. The best fireworks show is just staying at home because everybody in the neighborhood is setting off mortars and anything you can think of. So, like,
let's see if we could burn this town down.
Basically. So, I mean, honestly, it's the best fireworks show that we're going to find because you don't have to fight crowds.
Sure.
You're at your own house. You get tired, want to go in. Oh, I'm going to go grab a beer. Cool. You go inside and grab a beer. Then you're right back out at the fireworks show again. So, yeah, I mean, that's where we're staying from now on. Just doing it at home.
Did you pop any fireworks, Carrie?
I did not. We always go to a buddy's house who lives in Midtown, and he lives on the 24th floor, so you could always see, you can see fireworks from all around the city in from different areas.
Uh-huh.
We just go there and drink and
ring in freedom that way, huh?
Ring in the freedom. You know what I would have liked to do? I wanted to go see Cheap Trick. They played Carbock for
free. Oh, yeah, they did.
That would have been cool. But
didn't know
again, crowds,
right?
People.
Free show, crowds, beer. It sounds like
fourth
a recipe.
July.
Oh, and that was on the 4th.
Yeah.
Oh, that was packed. You
I'm
know
sure
it, was,
it
packed.
Was.
That's a recipe for disaster. Is what that is.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it'd been fun though.
Stranger Things. Watched it. It was.
Let's talk about it.
It was all right.
I thought it was fun.
All right. Quick thoughts. Carrie thought it was fun.
I thought it was a good season.
Dave?
I enjoyed it. I thought I...
You binged it, though. You went
no,
like, from
I didn't
one,
just
two,
binge,
three.
I didn't just binge this season. We binged the whole series.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So,
you like you went from top to bottom.
Yeah, my wife and I watched the first two seasons across about maybe 3 or 4 days. We watched the first two seasons in its entirety in the 3 or 4 days before the new season dropped, and then we watched the whole new season in one day. So yeah, like, I guess maybe with everything fresh in my mind, I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really getting to watch how everybody's grown up, how they've changed, what certain things mean to different characters. I enjoyed the season quite a bit. I thought it was a good season.
I thought season 3 was good, just not great. It's way better than 2, because 2 was a pile of shit.
2 had problems.
A lot of problems.
That I'm some of them I'm still counting on them coming back around to and them paying off.
Like what?
Like Collie, like that whole sequence.
Which one's Collie? The X-Men kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's there.
They're going to come back in the 4th season as L's army to defeat whatever.
Yeah. Probably. Or they're going to become another enemy, because now L has pissed off Collie, and Collie doesn't like when people make her angry.
Wow.
So, and her name is Collie, which...
Collie Ma. I don't know.
Collie is the Hindu goddess of destruction. It's her job to destroy the universe. And it's not malicious. It's not evil. It's just...
It's in their
just
nature.
Doing my job.
Yeah. So anyway...
I forgot about those kids.
Well, yeah, a lot of people did, because they were the worst part of season 2.
They really messed up the flow of season 2, which is why I'm hoping something's going to pay off for them.
Season 3 kind of works better if you don't watch season 2 and just watch the recap. Because they totally skip all the worst episodes.
The same demon as well. So.
Yeah, and I think that's my biggest problem with season 3 is that it just kind of feels like we're treading same old ground.
It was like the
and
Blob.
And we're not doing anything new.
It was like an episode of The Blob.
Here's why I disagree. The something new isn't coming from the Upside Down. The something new is coming from the Russians. Because, okay, are we spoilering?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are we going to talk about this?
Everybody's fucking
seen it. Everyone's seen it. All
right.
Like, they had 45 million people watch it the first day it came out.
So, spoiler alert. Turn off now. Turn back now if you haven't watched it yet. Okay, the Russians. The Russians are where the Upside Down came from to begin with.
Yeah, they talk about that in episode 1.
Where?
Or season 1. Well, that's the whole reason why Elle was created, was to spy on the Russians.
To spy on the Russians. And so...
And she kind of inadvertently created the crack in Russia.
Right. And so that, I think, that's more interesting to me.
Totally. Like, I think that's totally interesting, but they didn't go anywhere with it.
The whole season was working that out.
I guess. The most interesting character, they didn't develop her at all. Elle is still the same girl that we met in season 1. She hasn't really changed very much.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Okay, what is she? She doesn't think any differently. She still thinks that she's being controlled by men, and the same ground that we tread over season 2, we still do it in season 3.
You're talking about a person whose entire life up to this point was spent in a cell and being experimented on. She's only been out for 2 years. This is deep, deep, deep emotional programming and scarring that
and
she has
Hopper
to get over.
Keeps her in a cabin.
And they deal with that. That's part of the problem.
Right.
The whole series is about mirrors. The Upside Down theme runs through everything in the show. Everything has an opposite. And so they have to deal with the fact that Brenner and Hopper are kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
But how are they different?
I agree with you. But that's what the Mind Flayer should have been.
Hopper was a douche in the season, too.
Well, he's always been a douche, though.
Well, yes, but...
He was extra angry this season.
Yes, he was. And you know who I did not hate in this season that annoyed the fuck out of me before? Winona Ryder.
She was good this season.
Because she played the version of Hopper, and he played her in this season.
No, this is, again, the mirroring thing.
Yeah.
This is... All of this stuff comes
back. See, that's
back
where
around.
I was kind of upset. Like, I think the Mind Flayer was a little... kind of a easy target. Like, he was too easy. He should have been more difficult for Elle. Like, Elle and the Mind Flayer should have been polar opposites and too strong for each other. And I guess by the time I got to the last episode, I think I wrote a better version of the show in my own head. And when they didn't give me what I thought was going to happen, I think I was upset because I saw what instead was the obvious.
Which was?
Well, all right, spoiler alert, that they're fake deathing Hopper. And
I don't think everyone knows their fake death.
Yeah,
Hopper.
Yeah. And then also, we all know Elle's going to get her powers back.
I mean, what's he going to do? Make another Hellboy movie? I don't think so.
But oops. Do you think that's why this season was only 8 episodes?
The last one was 9. The first one was 8.
Yeah.
I thought the first one was 10.
It's not. I just watched it. It's 8.
I thought it was 10 episodes. But anyway, I don't know.
It's better to have 8 episodes with a lot of stuff and then dragging it out to 12 or 13, you know?
But see, also, there's a lot of stuff in this season that could have been cut out. Like, the whole newspaper angle didn't really feel like all it was a little tiny piece that didn't really get explored. So they could have done less episodes, in my opinion.
Then you wouldn't have Jake Busey in it.
Who?
Jake Busey.
Oh, but he was barely in it, though.
Well, if you took that newspaper plot out, he wouldn't have been in it at all.
Why did he have to be in it? That was my point. Where I'm trying to get to is, I wished more of the Russians...
What he's trying to get to is that George hates everything.
That's not true. I had fun watching it, but the parts that I enjoy, I really enjoy. But the parts that don't land, really don't land.
What do you think about the Carrie Elwes, the mayor?
Well, he's good. He's a good sinister mayor. I wish he would have been more sinister, maybe, instead of just like the mayor of, like, from Jaws, which is basically what he was kind of mimicking.
Yeah, he sort of was. You know the girl that worked with Steve in the ice cream shop?
She was great.
She was awesome. She was my total favorite.
You know who she is?
She's Ethan Hawke's daughter, yeah.
Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
Really? I didn't realize Uma Thurman is her mom.
Yeah.
No, she was one of the best parts of the season.
She was totally hilarious.
First episode, I was like, I'm not going to like this one. But then by the end of it, like, she's one of the best.
Yeah, it goes to show you, Steve is probably the best character.
Steve is the best character in the show.
He has the best character arc.
He absolutely
does. Out of all the seasons.
And he is the most interesting character in season 2 and maybe in season 3 as well.
Totally, because he's an aimless kid who's trying to find his way in life.
Well,
who's stuck in this monster movie.
We've all
movie.
Been there.
Well, but he's also
stuck in his version of Red
Dawn. We've never been in a monster movie.
The mirror thing, too, between him and Billy.
Totally.
Because at the beginning of the series as a whole, he is Billy. And
totally.
Then watching through it again recently, it was just kind of funny. It's like, man, he has his head, like, way up his own ass. And then decides, hey, maybe I can try being a good, decent person about this. And he goes to do that and steps into the middle of a monster fight and adapts.
Yeah.
On the spot.
Totally, yeah.
Like, his head wasn't here at all. He just walked into that shit, and it completely changes him as a person.
Well, also, when they originally wrote his character, they didn't ever...
They were
really
going to kill him.
Yeah, they were going to kill him off in season 1, but they liked him so much that they kept him around.
Okay. And he's awesome. And
totally
so he's
awesome.
Because that totally changed and expanded his world. And so in season 2, when Billy shows up being Steve...
I didn't like Billy at all in season 2.
I didn't either, but I liked
totally
him in season 3.
Pointless character. Yeah, season 3 totally redeemed his character.
Yes.
But I don't know. I wanted more. I wanted it to mean more. I wanted to, when we got to the end, to care more, and I didn't.
I want to see a spinoff with just Steve and Dustin.
They should.
They should, because they're the best characters.
Yeah.
And, like, I kind of feel like we're just treading same old ground. I felt like I was watching their interpretation of season 1, just, hey, we came back.
The mall was cool, though.
The Star Court stuff was interesting, and I wish they would have done more with that.
I do kind of wish they had done more mall stuff, actually.
Yeah.
Because
I wish
especially
it would have
because they had hyped it so much.
Right. It was in all the promos.
Every promo. Yeah.
And I think, the Back to the Future episode was pretty cool.
I think the best part is them trying to understand and figure out Back to the Future while stoned off their asses. It was totally funny.
Yeah. But that also led to one of the best scenes in the
totally.
Series.
Oh, totally. Yeah, like when they
the
have
bathroom,
that heart-to-heart moment.
In the bathroom was great.
Great scene. Just goes to show you, they're both really good actors, and they nailed it.
The character writing for this show is really good.
Totally.
Better
than
maybe
season 2.
Maybe the plot writing isn't the best, but to me, this is a character show. It's a dramedy wrapped in a science fiction world. Really, the best parts of the show are the interactions and the growth between
the
characters.
See, that's the parts that really worked for me, is when all the characters are together and they have a chance to play off of each other.
Yeah.
But they don't do that for very long, because if you think about it, they break, and even in season 1 they do this too, but they break up the group and they all go off in their different genres of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Dustin and Steve are very much in a Red Dawn type of scenario movie, where Mike and Lucas and them are in a horror movie, mm-hmm. and very much where the newspaper story, which was fucking stupid, was like one of those, you know, God, those 1970s like newspaper dramas,
mm-hmm.
where they're trying to undercover the facts, and she's a working woman, and it felt really heavy-handed. They were trying to throw in 2019 politics in a 1985 scenario that didn't fit. Anyway, that was the same formula from season one, and I just kind of felt like we weren't learning more about Elle. I didn't feel like she grew that much as a character.
I think because the series, they're trying to get away from the idea that this show is about Elle, because the show's never been about Elle. She shows up and does badass shit, but the show's not about her.
I think it should be about her, though.
I don't
think the show is about everyone else around her.
Yeah.
The effect that her and what she represents has on everybody else.
She turns Mike into a whiny bitch, Lucas into I think I know it all, not so Casanova, and
they're
Will
teenagers,
and,
dude. They're
Will
13
into
years
well,
old.
Yeah, I got that, but like Will is oh so annoying. He only has two lines throughout the whole movie. Can we play D&D? I feel him coming. That's the only line.
I wish we would, and we got a little bit more this season, but after watching through the whole thing before we got to three, watching through season two, I was like, man, I hope we actually like get to see Will be a kid in season three.
He tried to be, but nobody wants to be a kid.
Yeah. So I kind of got what I wanted, but it was kind of sad at the same time. Yeah.
That's why he fucking kicked rocks and moved out of town.
Yeah.
But
Castle Byers.
Yeah, he's totally going to try to.
That
move
was
on
a,
Elle,
you know
right?
what I got to say though, like
that's probably the saddest part.
That scene got to me.
The destruction of childhood is what it was.
And I do think that
now that's sad.
The kid, I do think that the kid who plays Will gives some really intense performances throughout the series.
So,
but most of the time, he's in the Upside Down or Limbo or whatever. He's being possessed by a monster, whatever. Like, you don't really get to know who Will is.
Sure.
And
just a lonely little kid who wants to play D&D.
Yeah.
And he's the damsel in distress.
But I think the kid that plays him does a good job with the material that he's given.
I've seen
Mike looks like a skeleton with hair.
Mike will maybe one day grow into his nose.
Maybe.
But
it won't happen.
So I've been watching a lot of late night and then videos I've been doing promoting this season. And they shot this so long ago. They're like all 14, 15 now, all gone through puberty, and they all look fucking weird. I was like,
they shot this last year.
Yeah, I know. But the guy who plays Will,
even so, Will tripped me out in season three. He looks like a man lanking around in kids' clothes. Like,
yes.
It was, yeah.
You mean Mike?
No, I mean
Will.
I mean Will.
Take away
Mike,
the bowl cut.
Mike does too. But yeah, take away Will's bowl cut,
yes.
And he's like. Dude, you're too tall and filled out. Like, you're
Lucas has facial hair.
Lucas is like, I'm growing into a handsome young man. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Like, Justin still looks like a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
the toothless kid.
Yep, I know who he is.
Yeah,
I don't think he has a medical condition. I don't remember what it's called though.
It's he says it in the first episode of the show. That the episode. When Dustin says what his character has, that's what Gatton actually has.
Yeah.
So
they wrote it into the show for him. Yeah. I also loved, there was a lot of cool, like, all the moments with him was great. I thought the never ending story of a thing
that
was
fun.
That was hilarious.
Well, what made it really funny is, like, I don't know why, but every now and again I'll get stuck singing that song in my head, like, even before the show came out. And I won't know why, but now it's even more in my head now.
Yep.
And it kind of went on too long to where I thought, like, all right, this is not funny anymore. But then it kept on going and then became funny again.
Yeah,
like a Family Guy joke.
Yeah, I was like, all right, this is not getting funny. Oh, it's funny again.
Yeah, so let's talk about the ending a little bit. One of the saddest endings I've seen in a while.
Is what?
The ending in the movie or the show.
Hopper?
What do you call it, a movie? No.
It's just
when everybody,
it was cumulative.
When people were like saying goodbye
ending.
And stuff?
I think it was the cumulative ending. Like the loss of Hopper, as far as the characters know.
Yeah.
We all know that Hopper's not gone.
Right.
He's
Hopper's
the
one of,
behind
well,
the door.
He's
right.
One of,
he's the American that's
it's
in,
either him or Brenner. Brenner's not dead.
Who's Brenner?
The Papa.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but to me, it's
I don't know.
More,
in an interview,
likely...
I read somewhere that David Harbour kind of spilled the beans accidentally that it is him. But that gives
me,
them time to change it later.
That's
to if they
me
want
the
to.
More likely reading of it. But I was like, it could be Brenner, probably Hopper.
So how do you think Hopper escaped? Do you think he jumped into the
I don't think he did it on purpose.
I think he was blown.
I think
into
he was
the other
blown.
Side.
Maybe so
or upside
I,
down.
Yeah, I think that he was blown into Russia. One like either via like he was blown through the upside down and was either retrieved there by the Russians or went through.
Well, if you notice when Russia. The CIA people or whoever the government shows up, everyone's gone. All yeah. the Russians are ghosted. So
they're obliterated.
No, they
the
they
ones
left.
In the chamber
the
ward.
The one in the chamber ward, yeah, that's true.
I'm talking about the rest of the facility. They showed up and the facility was empty.
Yeah.
But the chances are that since Hopper has released the or dropped the ball, I'm pretty sure they're going to rewrite the ending to where it is Brenner and that he's in the upside down saying that the 3 inches, you know, help me come through. They're probably going to have to use L to open the door.
So, but L doesn't really have her powers anymore.
She will.
She will. It's
what do you
temporary.
Think that's about? Because I think when she pulled the piece of the Mind Flayer out of her, that it her powers went at the same time.
Maybe
they were probably attached through the bloodstream or something happened.
Well,
I don't know.
It's probably that it was a traumatic pain and she has to work through it.
Maybe
Eleven has
it's
always
gonna be like one of those Phoenix situations where she has a bigger power than she thought she did.
She's always been. Likely because she's always been her mirror has always been the monsters from the upside down. She and so the kids, the figures that they play D&D with, the actual figurines, mm-hmm. the monsters become representative of
sure
the
they even
whole.
Talked the game that they kind of half-assed played in this season where they were talking about the zombies or whatever mm-hmm. that was pretty much the flayed that turned into the
right
meat pie monster
right exactly
the blob
but in the first season the Demogorgon figure has two heads because the Demogorgon in real life is the Demogorgon and Eleven they're the same
yeah the see that's how I them, thought they were going to end this show I thought that like Elle was going to have to figure out that see that was the version I wrote in my head it was mm-hmm. that the Mind Flayer and her realize that they're two parts of the same whole mm-hmm. and the only way to destroy it and close the door forever is to kill each other
yeah
that's what I thought.
Or combine.
No. The only way to get rid of everything in total is to get rid of it, not to get rid of one half because the other half still exists. It's the whole Terminator idea, right?
But the Mind Flayer wasn't going to try to get...
Mind Flayer was just trying to take over everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I thought was going to happen. I thought she was going to destroy the Mind Flayer and then end up in the same time killing herself. Mm-hmm. And that would have been the moment she said, I love you to Mike, and that would have been the saddest thing ever. And then that would have been the series finale. For me, that's how
that was
the
season you would have written?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds stupid as fuck, dude. I wouldn't have liked that ending.
That's how I would have. It would have ended on a complete downer vote.
That sounds like the tropiest ending to me.
It's the most natural progression, but they didn't do anything to build up her character for that moment. So.
No, and that's why it wouldn't have worked.
I think where they took it, it was a natural flow for the series, and it was one of the saddest endings you can do. Everything... sort of splits away at the end.
But they're going to definitely come back.
Yes, of course.
They even say, oh, we can come back for Thanksgiving. Next season
ever had a girlfriend move away on you or something like that when you were young?
No.
You never had a girlfriend when you were young?
I had friends.
I didn't have a girlfriend.
Friends move away.
That disappeared or, you know, took off or died or anything like that?
No, that didn't happen to me. I didn't have that lifestyle, sorry.
So if you had any of these experiences as a young person, it definitely hit you harder.
Okay. I agree with you. Like it was
loss,
sad, but it didn't hit me very hard.
The loss and the grief that those characters are feeling was real. You could tell it was real.
Will's totally going to make a move on Elle later.
I don't think so.
No, probably
I think Will's
not.
Gay.
I think they kind of alluded to that, right?
They didn't straight out say it either. Well, in the first season,
they talk about when
he goes missing, when Joyce is originally talking to Hopper, she mentions, you know, he's not like the other kids. He gets picked on. They call him, I don't remember what slur she uses, but some homosexual slur. I don't remember what it was. And Hopper goes, well, is he? And she's like, does it matter? And I can see in his head, is like, it might matter. As a cop who's looking into this, maybe it matters, right? But then they don't really bring it up again. But there's other little things. Will's not getting into girls like everyone else is. He's that wearing, doesn't mean he's gay because not everybody does.
He the way I took it as is that but everybody so basically, was wearing short shorts.
Basically, I'm wondering if they're going to play it out that way because of the mirror thing. We now have a lesbian in the older group of kids.
Right.
Maybe Will is gay and he's going to fill that mirror role in that group. So
I kind of felt like they were alluding to that, but I also felt like, well, maybe he just didn't have a chance to be a kid because he lost out on 2 years of being a kid.
There's absolutely that too. And I think that's a lot of why his head isn't even in that game at all, because he's still a kid. He's still wanting to do that stuff. And it's not just that he's not interested in girls. I think he's not interested in the whole prospect.
He's like, I just don't want to be an adult.
I'm wondering if I'm seeing hints of them getting ready to go, oh yeah, Will's gay. You know, whatever. Which, I mean,
that's a great point, because all of his friends have moved on and got girlfriends. And then when he found out Dustin had a girlfriend.
That was the last straw.
He was like, really? You too?
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, everybody's getting girlfriends around him and he still wants to be that young kid.
Sure, makes sense.
All right.
So anyway, I liked it, didn't love it. I wanted more. I wanted more development or a better story.
I think Stranger Things is it's
one of my favorite things going right now, I got to say. I really enjoyed it.
It was definitely a highlight of the summer. I really enjoyed watching it.
45 million people agree.
It's a lot of fun.
Or watched it at least.
Even when there's problems, they do a really good job making it fun.
Sure. Yeah, most definitely agree with that.
So,
yeah.
It's either you get a good laugh out of it, or they tug on your heartstrings somewhere in a really genuine way. I feel like they... Anywhere that they have flaws, they tend to compensate for them somewhere else. I feel like they do a good job.
Most definitely, yeah.
So,
like the characters together by themselves are fun, and absolutely. You just like spending time with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's move on. Let's move on to our topic of the show and start talking about some of the summer movies that we've seen.
Yeah, for more shit for me to shit on.
And we're back to the show. Our topic for this week is going to be 2019 summer movies. What we've seen, what we enjoyed, what George hated. What movies that we enjoyed that George hated.
Which is all of them.
So let's start with the one freshest on our mind. Let's start with Spider-Man.
Oh, you don't want to start for what first came out?
Do you want to go that way?
Yeah, it'd be easier. Right, let's go down the list.
Do it. You start.
Me start. Oh, you start. I pull up the list.
I guarantee you've seen more movies.
Yes,
I guarantee you. I probably haven't. I have not seen a lot of movies this summer, mainly because you've really seen more than I have.
Okay, let's preface. When do we want to say summer movie season started? John Wick 3?
No, it was when Endgame came out.
Okay.
That's the beginning. Marvel dictates when summer starts.
That's probably true.
So Endgame. Anybody?
I went and saw it again last weekend.
You saw it twice?
Yeah.
I've only seen it once.
I saw it at least twice.
We were wanting to see it again, but every time something else came up or we were busy and then there was a limited amount of showings and when they re-released it, we're like, okay, let's go see it then.
You saw the re-release then?
We did.
And?
The stuff at the end wasn't worth it.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Like, they did a tribute to Stan Lee and the gag reel stuff, right?
A little bit of gag reel, and they showed an unfinished scene of the Hulk saving people from a burning building. The funniest part about that whole deleted scene, this is going to spoiler a little bit, but
I'm sure if you haven't seen Endgame by now, come on.
It was the cop that was there at the scene.
Is it Lou Ferrigno?
No, it was not Lou Ferrigno. It was...
Edward Norton.
Winslow from
Carl Family. Winslow.
It wasn't Carl Winslow. It was his character from Die Hard.
Oh, nice.
I was like, okay, that's pretty great.
That's pretty awesome.
Up for the...
Was he eating a Twinkie?
No,
that would have been even better.
That would have been better. I like Endgame a lot. I
think it's the best movie of the summer so far.
Oh,
and that's not saying much. So.
So yeah, that came out April 26th. Yeah, you're right. So I guess that's the beginning of the summer season.
Yeah, I mean, not really, because usually it's May, but...
They released it a week earlier.
Yeah, so, like I said, Marvel dictates.
Almost May.
Yeah. Marvel did take summer now.
It's May-ish.
Before you know it, it's going
to
be...
decided they needed summer to be longer so they can make more money.
It's exactly, exactly what it is.
They wanted summer to be longer so they can
before
be
you
Avatar.
Know it, before you know it, the summer's going to start in March. It's going to be spring break, and then it's summertime.
The rest of the world will experience summer like we do here in Texas, where it's at least half the year.
So we can all agree that In-game is probably one of our favorite.
It's definitely in my top five. The rest of the summer movies, there's a whole bunch of list of movies that I haven't seen that I still want to see.
Okay,
But it's definitely on my favorites. I mean, the Captain America and the Hammer is probably a thing I'll never lose in my brain. That's seared into my memory banks.
Yep.
It is so good. And then also the On Your Left line is so great.
That was great.
And then, you know, it is America's Ass. I mean, there's so many good moments, and I loved it because it was way better than Infinity War. And it basically made the 10 years of Marvel matter.
Yeah. I agree.
The Russo brothers are great directors. They knew
they are.
They I knew agree. Exactly where they needed to take the series.
But beyond that, though, this is a producing nightmare. Endgame and Infinity War. So you got to give it up to the executive producers and Feige.
Yeah,
and the whole Marvel team in general. Just the sheer amount of work that went into making
this
possible.
Just the logistics of getting everybody,
especially
scheduled.
For that last shot.
Yeah,
and they had to shoot that thing twice.
Did they?
Yeah. Well, they shot it once as a funeral and then once as a wedding, so nobody would know the ending.
Oh.
So they had to reshoot that scene twice.
Oh, that scene you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. The funeral scene, if anybody doesn't know. I mean, they spoiled the movie.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And the trailer for Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Hey, at least they warned you first.
That's right.
Tom Holland was
they
like,
waited
if you
a really
have not
long
seen Endgame, do not watch this trailer.
Well, that's really funny that they did that.
It's funny that they got Tom Holland.
They waited a really long time to release that trailer. Like, they haven't done any advertisement for Spider-Man until, like, I don't know, probably like a month up to the release of the film.
Well, because what could they... I mean,
you could have cut stuff out of it, but it would have been really hard to convey
The whole tone of like what he's going through in the movie deals with the end of
it. And that's probably why I didn't enjoy it as much, but we'll talk about that when we get to it.
All right, so let's move on. I don't plan to see this. What about Pokemon Detective Pikachu?
I wanted to see that movie.
I heard it was really funny and enjoyable.
I'm not a big Pokemon fan.
Me neither, but it looks fun.
My daughter is like everything is Pokemon, and so we went to go see it, and I had fun.
Did she like it?
Oh yeah, she loved it.
So as a Pokemon fan, I got the seal.
It got her seal of approval.
There you go.
Pokemon Deadpool Pikachu.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. We talked about it after I'd seen it, and I talked about it. It's a kids' movie. It's a family movie.
Yeah,
like it's a mystery. But if you're a grown ass adult, you'll have it figured out.
Like 2 minutes in.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I know what happened. But it's still like they make it enjoyable to watch your way through.
Sure.
I mean,
like all the trailers made me want to watch it more than any right that it deserved.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, all right, this looks weird that I want to see
watch
a Pokemon movie.
Like on HBO or something. And I'm like, oh, you know, okay, fine, I'll watch it. I'm not going to go out of my way, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, it makes
sense.
I'm
sure I'll enjoy it.
I'll rent it when it comes out on Amazon.
What about Tolkien? Did anybody ever see that?
No, but I heard it wasn't that great, so that's why I didn't bother with it.
I was really excited for it because I'm like the Tolkien guy, right?
Yeah. You're the Tolkien.
I'm the Tolkien guy.
The Tolkien.
And I was excited when it was coming out, and then it came out, and I heard nothing but bad things about
it. Also, like, the week or a few days before the release, the Tolkien estate, like, said, we did not agree to any of this, and they were, like, poo-poo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they poo-pooed the whole movie.
I thought it was the other way. I thought I had heard they had signed off on it.
Nah.
Okay.
Okay. I'll probably still watch it when it comes out on, you know, some kind of home version. I'll still watch it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a movie about the life of Tolkien.
Right.
I'm going to watch the movie.
Moving on to the next week in May, we had
17th,
John Wick.
Right?
Yep. We had John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Parabellum. So
this is what finally compelled me to watch the first two movies.
The third movie compelled you to watch the first two.
Because
Did you watch the third movie, then watch the first two?
I've not seen the third movie. I was like, you know what? Okay. I don't want to watch the third movie until I've seen the first
one. So you haven't seen the third one.
So I've watched the first two, but haven't seen the third one.
All right.
So you can't say anything about it.
So tread lightly, I guess. he still wants to see it.
Yes, I do.
So John Wick is played by Keanu Reeves. Yes, it was great.
Was it good?
He fights a lot.
I really liked it. I think it's probably going to be the best action film of the summer. However, with that being said,
George hated it.
No, I you have to go with the idea that this movie kind of takes place in a Looney Tune kind of world.
It totally does, but it's a fun Looney Tunes kind of world.
Yeah, like in the opening shot, there's like, really?
And he fights the guy from Iron Chef America.
Yeah, so. Iron Chef is in it, so there you go.
He's not the Iron Chef, but...
Well, he's the ambassador for Iron Chef. Whatever the fuck his name is. Only the Strong Survive guy. This is the only other movie I know him from.
That's right.
And also that werewolf
Brother
in the mountain.
The Wolf.
Yeah,
Brother
Double Dragon.
Wolf. And Double Dragon. Fuck, I forgot he's in that. But anyway, it's good. It's just that there's certain scenes where, like, Keanu's like 55. It's like his age.
He's not 55 yet. He's still early 50s.
No, he's 55 or 54.
I don't think so. I thought he was like 51 or 52.
No, he's in his mid-50s.
Let's find out.
And, like, his age starts to show a bit, especially when he's, like, doing hand-to-hand combat with, like, real martial artists.
Think about it this way, too. You made that comment before. So I was thinking about this movie, they all take place in a small time period.
Yeah.
A week is where it takes place.
So
he's going through a lot of shit in that 1 week.
He's tired, man.
So he would be tired.
I get it.
He would be tired. He'd be a little bit weaker than in the beginning. By the third movie, I'm going to give him that.
I get it, but you could tell that his hand-to-hand combat is not on par with real martial artists. However,
he is 54.
His commitment to like how well he wants to do these stunts and
it's commendable.
Yeah, like he give him a gun, he looks so believable. Like he can tell you the ins and outs of that gun, probably, and. All right, so besides that, there's
Was it breathtaking?
He's breathtaking.
No, you're breathtaking.
Oh, thank you.
There are some questionable plot points that make me go, and not care as much. So the fact that they're coming out with a fourth one makes you think, all right, maybe they can fix it, but who knows?
But that was a TV series based on the...
Not about him, though.
Not right, but
it's about the hotel, and it's a prequel series.
Let's move on. The next week we had Aladdin.
Aladdin.
I know your opinion on it already.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you?
You didn't like it.
I hated it.
I know.
I didn't just not like it. I fucking hated it.
We talked about it.
We've talked about it.
Yeah.
Like I said,
I enjoyed my time watching it, but it's a terrible movie.
I hope Lion King is better.
It's a bad movie.
I saw a clip of Lion King on the way here.
I did too.
I'm regretting my purchase.
Did you see the Hakuna Matata scene?
Yeah.
That's what I saw.
I saw that, and I was like, I'm going to hate this movie. I'm just going to hate it. It looks so unnatural and doesn't fucking look real. It doesn't look photo real. It doesn't look anything in between either. Ugh.
I don't know. It's getting good reviews already.
Whatever.
Did anybody see Booksmart?
I was supposed to see it, but I had... to shoot a movie, so I couldn't go see it. I
haven't seen it. What about, let's move on, Brightburn.
I really wanted to see
Brightburn.
I haven't seen it yet either.
I heard it's an evil Superman that doesn't really go that far with the premise.
Yeah,
isn't that irredeemable?
I've heard
the
I've
comic book series Irredeemable?
I don't know.
I've heard the
never
same
read that?
Thing.
The Mark Waid series? Oh.
I've read Red Sun, which this movie was compared to.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I heard the same thing, that like it's a really interesting premise.
This doesn't go anywhere.
And they do some cool stuff with it, but that it doesn't ultimately go anywhere. But
they're supposedly making a sequel.
Okay.
So maybe we'll do better.
I'll watch it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I want to see it still.
I'll check it out.
You haven't Irredeemable, the Mark Waid series. So it's basically...
if Superman was evil.
Pretty much. And then all the villains and superheroes team up to try to stop him. Yeah, it's really good.
Following that would be Godzilla King of Monsters. Who saw that?
I saw that.
It was better than the last one.
You saw it?
Oh, yeah.
The kaiju stuff was fun.
I wanted to see it, but I heard that it was just kind of meh.
It was better than the last one. The kaiju stuff, I thought... was awesome.
So when you say better than the last one, do you mean better than Skull Island or better than Godzilla?
No, I mean better than Godzilla.
See, I actually enjoyed Godzilla. I thought it was a very interesting take on Godzilla.
It could have been. To me, it just none of it. The Kick-Ass sucked in it. Whatever his name was, he was bad. He was not an enjoyable character to watch.
He didn't kick ass.
He did not.
He did not kick ass.
And that to me, that was the thing. Is it would have been fine. I think it's interesting to really say, what do the people on the ground experience when Godzilla shows up? That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, and that's where I think they were trying to.
And I just felt like it fell flat. I didn't. And then on top of that, Godzilla shows up like three times in the movie, and it's like
more than that. But
I know I'm being hyperbolic.
But it's
you're talking about
like
the first Godzilla one.
They took the Jaws approach with Godzilla.
Yeah,
which show very little of them up till the very end.
Well, they totally did opposite in this one.
Yes, they did.
Showed
there's kaiju.
As much as you wanted.
So this is like Jaws of Revenge.
This is kaiju. Yes. There's kaiju everywhere in this movie, and all of that stuff is a lot of fun me. I enjoyed
all
that
stuff. There was good actors in the movie. They just didn't have a place to go.
Well, that was what I was going to say, is the people had the same problem in this movie as it did in the last one.
Agreed.
The people aren't interesting.
I never liked that. With Kyle Chandler?
Kyle Chandler, he's awesome, man.
I don't think it's his performance. I think he's okay. It's just that, like, his story's not that interesting. It's like, I don't care that much about why these people are doing what they're doing, and they don't ever really, to me, they never really make the case for
it. What about
the
L?
Monsters
about
were
11?
Fucking awesome, though.
11 should have just stopped and then just killed the bad kaiju. That Brad Whitford was in it. Now, I love him.
Which one was he?
Bradley Whitford, the older guy with the white hair. He was in Get Out. He's been in a bunch of different stuff. What was the name of that TV series? The West Wing? Was that it?
Maybe.
There was a series called that.
Yeah. With Martin Sheen?
Martin Sheen. Cabin in the Woods, Get Out.
Oh, yes. No, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always great.
Yeah, he was good.
All right. So what else? Let's go back to that week. After Godzilla, we had Ma. Did anybody see that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't care to see it.
What about Rocket Man?
I wanted to see that, and I heard amazing reviews about it.
I saw Rocket Man.
But you didn't like it.
I didn't love it, no.
But do you like Elton John?
I do like Elton John's music.
But you didn't like the idea that they did like a musical aspect version of it.
Yes.
Intertwining his music into his life, and you didn't think that was...
It was more musical than I expected it to be. You know,
see, that's what I think
but it was
that's
good,
what makes it interesting
it was a good
for me.
Spectacle. If I was sort of prepared for that aspect of it, I might have enjoyed it more.
Mm.
But I'm sure we'll probably wind up watching it again soon.
I want to see it. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
There is good stuff in it. It's
like,
just,
there's really like for what I understand, because I haven't seen it, but for what I've read from reviews that I trust, saying that there's some really like the predictable biopic tropes.
Sure.
But they offset that with these musical, fantastical elements.
They do.
That what makes it interesting and keeps your attention.
Taron Egerton is great.
Looks nothing like Elton John.
Though. No, but he's great at him as a character. You don't have to look like exactly like the character.
Just saying, he doesn't look like Elton John.
This is the second. So it's funny that he was in a movie with him. Now he's playing him in another movie.
And he also did an animated movie where he sang Elton John music. He played a gorilla in the movie called Sing, and he sang
Netflix.
A Elton John song.
That's right, he did. I didn't know that was him.
Yep, that was him.
Oh, I guess I didn't make that connection.
That's what kind of connected them two together, actually.
Okay.
And then he invited him on the set of Kingsman 2, and then that's where they came up with the idea that he should play him in his biopic.
Oh.
And then that's how that whole ball started rolling.
You're making another Kingsman movie. It's supposed to be like a prequel?
Sequel and prequel.
Oh, okay. Excited for that. I'm glad
they're making so many Kingsman movies.
Good.
It's ridiculous.
Good.
You would think what's his face would get tired of making them.
Let's move on to the week after Dark Phoenix. Dark Phoenix.
What's that
exactly?
Are we all looking at the same list? What list are you looking at?
Rotten Tomatoes.
That's the one I'm looking at too.
Yeah.
So rated at 23%.
Yeah. I can agree with that. Okay. So. if I didn't have this AMC A-list thing, mm-hmm. I would definitely be more upset sometimes when I see these movies. But when you're paying $20 a month for three movies a week, you can accept a bad one. Everyone's like, oh, okay, I saw it. But if I paid like $14,
calling it
bucks,
a mulligan is basically, eh,
yeah,
it's a
if
mulligan.
I paid $15 to see it, I've been like, I want my money back, you know? The first 15-ish minutes of this movie...
That does not make it okay, Carrie.
I know. We're actually okay. I enjoyed them. I did... You had a perfect storyline to go with, and they fucked it up somehow. Majorly fucked it up. Did not like the story plot. I didn't like any of the other characters they created. It was just...
So they, like, created aliens, right?
Apparently, yeah. Yes.
Because that's what I saw in the trailers, and I was like, what the fuck are these aliens doing in this movie?
Yes. Everybody's like, who is Jessica Chastain in this movie? She was a fucking alien who was trying to steal the Dark Phoenix power. From
But there's no aliens in the comic.
There's not these aliens, yeah.
I don't remember any aliens.
Apparently these were supposedly in the comics at some point in some somewhere down the line, but
I guess
the plot they had a great plot, and it was very much, you know, they could have really made Jean Grey an evil, badass character, had a good redemption, had everything that you would expect, or you would want. They didn't go that way. It's like, guys, what are you doing? All right.
So that was terrible, is what you're saying.
Not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, well, it was on its way out anyway.
It's true.
And like... Disney poured money into it. They, like, did reshoots and...
Not Disney.
Yeah.
Disney didn't own this movie, no.
For what I understand, they were pouring all sorts of money into reshoots because of the Disney buyout.
No. This movie was before... wasn't part of the buyout.
This is like one of the last movies...
Right.
Fox.
Yeah.
I understand that. But for what I understood, Disney...
I've never heard that. Lent
money for reshoots. Help out in the box office.
Never lend money for a reshoot, apparently. What about Secret Life of Pets? You might see that?
No. Two? I didn't like the first one.
Me either. What about The Dead Don't Die?
I wanted to see it, and then I realized who the director was, and I was like, I can miss out on this.
Jim Jarmusch?
Yeah. I don't like any of his movies.
I am not familiar with him, and so I guess the impression I've gotten, because I've heard a lot of people said they hated it, and a lot of people said they loved it, and so I guess it's just like, if you like Jim Jarmusch's style, then maybe you'll like it. But if you don't, then you probably won't.
He does like a lot of dramedies or a lot of slow, thoughtful type movies, I guess, and where he tries to be, I guess, political.
I'd watch one trailer for this movie and be like, this looks stupid as shit, and then watch another trailer for it and go, I kind of want to watch this movie, and then watch another trailer and go, this movie looks dumb. Like, I can't
decide.
He did
that one movie with Tom Holland and what's-her-face that looks like a dude.
Zendaya?
No, not Zendaya. Wow. How did you really feel about Zendaya, Carrie? No, man. The chick that's in Suspiria. Come on, man. She plays the ancient one in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, you're talking
the
about...
The fuck's her name?
Tilda Swinton.
There you go.
Your brain fart spread over here. I couldn't think of it either.
Tilda Swinton. The movie's called Only Lovers Left Alive is what it was called.
Never heard of it.
And I only saw a little bit of that movie, and it was interesting, but it's really slow, and it bored me to death.
So did y'all see the movie with Thor and Valkyrie when they joined Men in Black?
No, because Tessa Thompson was in it.
That's right. You have a distaste.
I do not like Tessa Thompson.
So do you hate Thor Ragnarok?
She's in it little enough, and the rest of it I enjoy enough that I can deal with it. But she was starring in this movie.
Right.
I'm not there for that.
Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah.
It was one of our, you know, AMC things.
And?
It was part of our AMC weekly movie we saw.
Okay.
It wasn't good. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't a good movie at all.
It didn't look like a good movie.
It was serviceable.
So, I'm just going to guess. I haven't seen the movie. I've only seen a trailer, and it's only one trailer they showed in front of another movie that I saw in theaters. Is Liam Neeson the bad guy? I'm guessing by your pause that is a yes.
Trying to remember, yes, he is.
Liam Neeson's the bad guy, and and somehow Thor is left to be is thought to be the bad guy, but it turns out he's just a bad boy renegade.
Close.
I'm just kind of going off of what I've seen in the trailer. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know...
And then Tessa Thompson has to, like, wrangle them together and they become partners at the end?
No.
No? They don't become partners at the end?
For a little bit.
Does Will Smith make a cameo?
No.
Yeah. Lame.
Not in physical form.
Oh. What about Rip Torn?
No.
No.
He died.
He passed away
Rest
recently.
Rest in peace,
he
Rip died. Torn. Rip Torn. That's sad.
So anyway, no, I did not see Men in Black, and I don't really plan on watching it. Which is sad, though, because I really love the first one.
Yeah.
The first one is just, like, pure magic for
me.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Everything about it is pitch perfect.
Even
the
90s
setting.
And the ones that came after it were okay. They were enjoyable enough.
I guess. The third one, maybe. The second one is not enjoyable.
No, the third one's better than the second one, definitely.
What about Shaft, speaking of Liam Neeson?
Shaft?
I didn't see it.
Me either.
Is Liam Neeson in it?
No, Samuel Jackson's in it.
I know, Samuel Jackson's in it. But what do you
speaking of Marvel characters,
I'm thinking of Hollywood Babylon, the Kevin Smith podcast. Uh-huh. Every episode they end with jokes about how big Liam Neeson's penis is.
Okay.
How does that relate to Shaft?
Shaft.
Oh, I get it. Sorry, my brain was turned off for a minute. Okay.
Child's Play.
Oh, the Chucky remake with Luke Skywalker?
Yes.
I didn't see it.
I wasn't interested.
Yeah. I'll watch it on Blu-ray. Maybe.
So, they basically pulled their plot line from a Simpsons joke and made it into a Chucky remake. So, there's a Treehouse of Horror where one of the people are making fun of Chucky. The back of the doll goes from good and underneath it says evil, and somebody in the factory accidentally switches it to evil. Apparently, that's the exact same plot line in this movie.
Really?
Yes.
Is that why he's bad?
Yeah, a disgruntled worker in China fucks up the wiring or whatever and takes off the inability chip to be a good doll, makes it evil,
he's not
apparently.
Not a good guy anymore?
Yeah, he's not
a good guy doll.
Yeah, good guy doll. So it makes him into a bad guy doll.
That's pretty dumb.
Yeah. All right, so here's something we haven't talked about yet. The next movie on the list, Toy Story 4.
Yay! Oh, man, the silence. Am I the only one who enjoyed this?
Because I know it's going to be contentious. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the fuck out of this movie.
George, I don't think Carrie liked it.
Why?
I didn't hate it. I just didn't think the ending part everybody was so sad about, I didn't think it was that meaningful.
Really?
Okay, so here's my thing about it. It felt more like a direct-to-home video version of Toy Story.
I disagree.
And they introduce all these new characters in 2 and 3, and they introduce more new characters in this one, but they didn't get to spend any time with the characters they introduced in the last movies.
Because it's not about them.
It doesn't... It was just too much.
Series is about Woody.
Yeah.
And about his...
My only beef about this is there wasn't enough Buzz, and they made Buzz a little... dumber than usual.
Yeah, I noticed that too. He was in it less and was
dumber than usual.
Movie was about Woody, not Buzz.
Right. Well, the whole first movie is about their friendship and discovering their friendship, and I kind of wanted them to find their friendship again,
so that it would mean more.
So it would mean more when they say goodbye. But that's my only biggest beef.
Yeah,
I guess that was overshadowed by them bringing back Bo Peep, which I thought was smart.
And
she was fun. Yeah,
she was interesting. And I'll say this: we didn't need Toy Story 4.
No. Toy Story 3
capped out that whole series perfectly.
So I thought, but this is the perfect epilogue to Toy Story.
That was going to be the next thing I said. We didn't need another Toy Story movie, but if we're getting one, this is the one that it needed to be.
Exactly. And I don't need any more after this.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, they're gonna have Toy Story 5.
I doubt it. Well, I don't know. I say that because I didn't think we would get Toy Story 4, but I really enjoyed it, which is kind of weird that I enjoyed it. Something that you didn't enjoy as much.
I enjoyed it, but I just didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Is my saying. I didn't hate it at all.
I liked it because there was no real villain in there. It was really it was just about Woody discovering himself.
Well, because that's what the whole series has been about.
Right.
The whole series has been about...
They do open up a whole new can of worms, though.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, there's no real villain. That? It's just toys and... It's
toys and happiness.
It's people in pain.
Right.
That's what it's about. It's about... Because the toys are our people.
They were pretty creepy.
And the can of worms I was talking about is like, they kind of showed you what a creation of a toy was like.
What do you mean? I don't remember that.
When they put fucking Forky together.
Oh, yeah.
They Frankenstein'd them together. Which I kind of feel like this is kind of an allegory of like parenthood in a way, where Woody very much brought Forky to life via parent-like. Because he brought her the things and she made him, and he did not bring those things to her, she wouldn't be able to mate him, and that's why he feels so responsible for him to get him back to Bonnie.
Sure.
And like the way they talk to each other is very reminiscent of what a parent would talk to a little child. You're the parent here. I figured you would know more about this than I would.
He definitely took on a parental role for Forky.
That's very true.
And it's part of, he did feel really responsible for him. And that's, Woody has always felt responsible for the other toys.
It's because he needed something and he wasn't no longer the toy ringleader.
That's really what it's about.
Yeah.
Because like we said, the whole series is about Woody, and it's about what happens to Woody when his world gets bigger. Because every installment of the series, Woody's world opens up in some way.
And this is the largest ever.
Yeah, and it is. It is the biggest one ever. And so it's had the biggest character change for Woody ever. And I felt like it was appropriate and sweet and a good way to tell another Toy Story story. Because otherwise, I don't know what they were going to do.
And like even the protagonist or the antagonist of the story was voiced by Scarlett Johansson. She wasn't all that bad.
True.
The doll.
Oh, ScarJo?
Yeah, that was Scarlett Johansson.
I didn't know that.
And
No, it wasn't ScarJo. It was Christina Hendricks.
That's Christina Hendricks.
They just sound the same to me. Sorry.
But yeah, she was just sad.
Yeah, and the fact that he was willing at the end to just give it to her.
Yeah.
It was no, like, I'm going to hold you down and steal this from you. He just gave it to her. And then he helped her find her kid,
because that's who,
which was great,
because the first,
that's who Woody is, I guess,
in the first movie. Yeah. Woody watches over the toys in the toy room, but it's not really so much because he cares about them, it's because he cares about him.
It's about his relationship with Andy.
It's his position that makes him special. And so the first movie is about him. What happens when somebody like that loses that position? Well, that means his world opens up and he has to accept more things. He has to accept that there is more love in the world than just him and Andy. Then the world opens up even further and you realize, hey, toys have problems too. Toys have desires. You know, there's this whole, Jessie just wanted to be played with. She just wanted to be loved.
Also, the fact that he could live forever and never be hurt again because he ripped his arm in Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
So it's just a great arc for Woody from beginning.
It's about the ego in the first movie, and the second movie is about the other toys. The third movie is about other children. That Woody's purpose goes from being the most important in the first movie to watching out for toys. And it's also about his own sense of purpose. What does it mean for me to be a toy? Who can I decide to be? Who can these other toys? So he's watching for the other toys. Third movie becomes about other kids.
When he was selfish about going to college.
Yeah. The relationship is really supposed to be about, he finds that he can use his power to make other children happy, and that grows him.
Right.
Every movie he grows, and in this one, it's, well, what about the toys that nobody cares about anymore? The ones that got thrown away.
And they mentioned that.
And he's been going that way for a long time. Eventually, he was going to become the toy that got thrown away. And so he stepped straight into that world and went, fine, I've always been the protector. I've always been the leader. I've always been a nurturer. He's always been a parent. So he just went into it. It was beautiful.
I thought it was great. I teared up at the end. Like a bitch. I have nothing else to say, huh?
No.
No. You just didn't like it.
No, I
maybe
didn't.
Maybe you just need another viewing now that maybe. You have this new outlook you know, on maybe. It.
Story and character development aside, which was great, the movie was goddamn beautiful.
Oh, God.
Oh, my
God. There's parts God. Where I was like, man, this doesn't even look animated.
The opening scene in the rainstorm,
yeah.
The rain looked amazing.
That was okay, basically so, Pixar stroking their dick, like, look what we could do with water.
Oh, they totally were. They totally were.
Because, okay, I went to the movie at a 3:45 showing. I got there at 3:45. The movie was already started.
Maybe you should show up 30 minutes before your show, sir, like your ticket tells you to.
It does not. You ever been to a movie that starts on time when they don't show you 20 minutes of previews or whatever?
I like the previews.
I know, but you always... they don't. If you go to a 3:45 movie, the movie's not already playing at 3:45, like 10 minutes into it. You know what I mean?
No, I understand.
And I went and told them, like, oh, we must have programmed it wrong. I'm like, well, program
okay,
it correctly.
Okay, so
well,
when did you come into the story then?
Actually, after the your experience might have been...
negated a little
might
bit.
Have been helped if you had seen the opening, because it sets that tone, because it the opening sequence is back when Andy's a kid
and RC is
RC
left outside.
Gets left outside and a storm comes and so Woody throws together this whole rescue thing.
He basically risks his he's about to go drown with RC
yeah
and fucking Bo Peep saves his life
yeah so okay.
I didn't see that
or save their lives rather.
It actually really does a good job of setting the tone for what's about.
I remember watching the movie. I'm like, is this like a Toy Story short before the movie? What's going on?
They didn't show any short
really
in this one, which surprising. I was kind of bummed out about.
I was surprised, a little bit disappointed.
I was like, what the fuck? No short. It just went straight into the movie. Maybe they're just like, yeah, we're tired of showing shorts. Or they got enough flack from Moana when Moana came out and they showed that Frozen 2 short.
Oh, yeah, like 20-minute short.
Oh, God.
Forgot about that.
Is it when Moana came out?
It was one of those movies, yeah.
Or Incredibles 2.
It wasn't Incredibles 2.
It wasn't Incredibles. 2. Incredibles is that you're was talking like about one.
Which one are you... Wait, which one are you...
Whenever they got... everyone gave them shit about releasing Frozen 2... that... Frozen short.
Which Frozen short?
The one with Olaf that's like 20 minutes long.
The one where like he has a cold and is making all the tiny little snowmen has a cold and is sneezing tiny little snowmen.
I didn't see it because it wasn't in the movie
It was about him trying to find out the different celebrate a different religion.
That's
holidays
right.
And stuff
that's
like
right.
That.
I didn't see that one either.
And it was like 20 something minutes long and people were complaining the fuck out of it.
Yeah. Okay, I'd forgotten that that had happened. I was thinking of the other Frozen short that was also bad.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember what it came before.
All right. But,
so I enjoyed Toy Story 4.
Me too.
It's probably my number...
It's number...
I guess number two on the list. There's only
Endgame
two movies of the summer that I liked.
If Endgame is number one, which it probably is, Toy Story is number two, but it's probably pretty close.
Yeah. Lion King hasn't come out, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood hasn't come out yet.
Oh, yeah.
I finally saw a trailer this morning.
For Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I hadn't seen anything about it yet. I'd heard about it.
Yeah?
But I just saw that trailer. I'm going to see this movie. I mean,
I bought
it's a Tarantino movie. I'm going to see it eventually anyway.
I'm super fucking stoked for it. Nobody wants in this house wants to go see it with me.
All right,
so.
Boys Trip.
Let's do it.
I already bought tickets.
Because
you want to go
my
on
wife does
I'm
not
going?
Like Quentin Tarantino movies.
Really?
So, yeah. She likes Reservoir Dogs, and that's it. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Pulp so many are here. Good, though.
Yep.
So we'll talk about we'll talk about that.
See it again. Or we all can come to my showing.
Let's find it. Yeah, let's look into it. That could be a fun movie at the... You're seeing at Draft House?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody see Annabelle Comes Home?
I've never seen a single Annabelle movie.
I saw the first Conjuring movie.
I've seen that one.
Conjuring.
But I haven't
seen
Conjuring.
That's what this grew out of.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Conjuring 2. I haven't seen any of the Annabelles or The Nun.
The first Conjuring was sufficient for me.
I really liked The Conjuring.
It was okay.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
It was a decent horror movie. It wasn't a good horror movie. It wasn't a great horror movie. It was decent.
It's probably one of the better ones I've seen.
Which, as far as horror movies goes, is saying a lot. Because most horror movies... As a horror movie lover, it's like one of my favorite genres. Horror movies are shit.
Speaking
they're
of which,
terrible.
I didn't see it in my list, but they didn't have Midsummer on here.
It's coming up.
Oh, it is?
We're not quite there yet. I want to talk about, what about Yesterday?
I wanted to see that.
I saw it last weekend.
Yeah?
Loved the movie.
Loved
the movie.
This is a movie premise that I thought sounded interesting, but like something I'm probably waiting for. So
I thought it was... It was a It was a lovely movie.
You're going to have to tell me if this is true or not.
Okay.
They basically take the idea of what if the Beatles never existed.
Correct.
Right?
That's correct.
But they never really go anything further than that.
How do you mean?
Like, there's zero ramifications about Beatles not existing. Like, certain musics didn't exist, or bands never got created.
Not true.
That's what I've heard so
far. There were some ramifications.
They give you this interesting topic, but they never push it. They just kind of leave it.
They didn't push it a lot, but there was mention about Oasis, and they're like, who's that?
Well, because from what I understand, the movie opens with an Oasis song.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the Beatles that went away in this world. There was other items that we're used to that were no longer there.
Okay. So, like, about time when that came out, I thought that was a beautiful movie. I thought it was very interesting the way they talked about time travel.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that it is just as good as that.
I never saw that.
You never seen About Time?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
Was it the same director?
Yeah, same writer, different director.
Okay. So, we love the Beatles.
So, really? that enhanced your enjoyment for it?
It did.
Okay.
I thought it should have been. It was just a fun movie. It was just
Across the Universe is a fun movie, but I won't call it great.
I like Across the Universe.
Yeah, because the music's good.
Yeah, pretty much.
that's about where it ends.
But this movie is not like that at all. I thought I would fucking hate Ed Sheeran in this movie too. He's like one of the main characters.
Is he really? Yeah. He's not a cameo?
No, he's a big part of it.
Oh, God. It really makes me not want to see it now.
And so is Kate McKinnon from SNL.
God, you're just souring this movie for me.
You don't like Kate McKinnon?
Not really.
I love Kate McKinnon. I think she's adorable.
Lily James, who plays the girl, the main
love interest.
Love interest?
Yeah.
So cute. Perfect.
I want to see it. I don't have really high hopes because all the reviews I read kind of like, eh, it's a cool idea that never goes anywhere.
I really enjoyed it. It wasn't too long. It didn't overstay its welcome. It's everything about it was more than serviceable.
Okay. All right. Continue.
Spider-Man, Far From Home.
Spider-Man.
Sorry. Just saw it this morning.
It's very true.
It is true.
Alexei is greater than Barb.
That was a great character. I loved him.
Oh, Alexei, yeah.
The moment where he dies, I'm like, I knew that was happening.
I knew it was going to come.
Yeah.
But it was so
I
sad.
Didn't want it to happen, but it happened.
Poor Alexei.
Spider-Man. Far From Home, what do y'all think?
It was some of the most fun I've had in a theater this whole summer. I really love this movie.
I enjoyed the movie as well. It wasn't. I don't know. It was fine. It was another Marvel movie that I enjoyed watching and got some stuff out of. So,
I liked it better than the first Spider-Man movie, actually.
The Homecoming?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't think about it in those terms, so now I'm thinking about it, and I'm not sure if I liked it better. I think I liked the Homecoming better than this one.
I thought it was okay.
You didn't like it, did you?
I thought it was okay. Like, there's parts of it that I thought was great. Jake Gyllenhaal fucking rocked
it. He did do a good job.
Like, Jake Gyllenhaal is awesome. It's just my biggest gripe, probably, not enough of Jake Gyllenhaal.
I mean, when I left the theater,
that's
I was smiling.
Complaint about everything.
It's true. Not enough Jake Gyllenhaal.
About life in general.
I need more
enough.
Gyllenhaal in my
when
life.
When I left the theater, I was still smiling. I was still on a high from seeing this movie. I had a lot of fun watching it.
Really?
Because
when I left the theater, all I can was complain.
Well, that's you.
Yeah.
You always complain.
It's not true. I just liked quality entertainment. And when they don't give me quality, I complain because I pay good dollars to go see these movies.
At least you get the AMC pass.
I don't have an AMC near me, and I'm not going to travel out of my way to go to Sugarland to go to an AMC theater.
Isn't there one at the mall nearby you?
Not going to that movie theater.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that means, but I understand the sentiment.
been there once, sir. Never going again.
The last movie I saw at that theater they were talking about was Toy Story 3.
AMC Katy Mills?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a terrible theater. Terrible theater.
All right.
What can I say? Like, there's some fun parts. Like, the characters in Spider-Man are so much fun. And I think that's part of the problem is that the side characters are more fun when he's not being Spider-Man. Like, when Spider-Man's not in the scene, I think I enjoyed the movie the most. And that's kind of sad.
There was a lot of slapstick in this movie, which I thought was fun.
Right.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal was pretty amazing. And I knew there was some kind of big twist coming.
And that was what I was kind of upset about, too. I really wish the spoiler alerts for Spider-Man fans, yes. I guess. Like, Mysterio is a bad guy.
But he's always been a bad guy.
Yeah, so why not show the twist super earlier on so we have more time with him?
I hadn't thought about that. That makes sense because the twist didn't mean anything to me because I already knew that Mysterio was the villain.
It's paper, so. I'm plain as paper.
Yeah.
And I think another big complaint I have is the mid-credit scene. Such huge ramifications.
Yes.
Huge ramifications that it's even more interesting than the whole movie I just watched.
Did you see all the end credit scenes?
I did. I'm trying to remember which one happened where.
So the first part where he took Mary MJ swinging around and he stopped. He saw all the video with J.J. Jameson.
Okay. And so then the second one was the one with the...
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Scrolls.
But yeah. No.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Spoiler alert. There's scrolls in this movie.
This was.
That's huge ramifications for the future MCU.
Yeah, like they're definitely. Well, I think they're definitely leading towards Secret Invasion at this point. The writing's on the wall.
And like, I would hope so. I hope so. But
well, and we got out and we're going. Well, how long has this been going on?
Exactly.
Since the 90s?
Like, well, according to
Captain Marvel, at least.
Well, according to the director, the last time where the real Nick Fury was at Tony Stark's funeral, that was the real, according to him. But that can always be, retrofitted to be fit in elsewhere.
Sure.
Also, another big gripe about this movie is that Peter Parker's story arc is boring. Like, he doesn't do anything heroic in this movie. He doesn't... There's never that moment where everything is on the line and he has to make the hard choice. Everything is like, hey, you gotta go do this. And he does it. There's never that moment where he decides he has to do it. If you think back, reason why Spider-Verse is so great is that because Miles Morales doesn't have to go and be a hero. He chooses to be that hero, and he finds that hero in himself.
I will There's say never that, that Spider-Verse was a better Spider-Man movie than this one
it's
by far.
Way better. And that kind of sours this movie because it's well-written. Spider-Verse is well-written and better storyline altogether, where this one is just kind of meh. And also, another big problem, you have like the big heavy load of Endgame just finishing and all that story basically just shoves their dick into this story. So there's more MCU story than there is Spider-Man.
Yeah, this this feels like what it is. It's a transitionary movie that again can't stand on its own. It's not really meant to. This is an episode in between.
This is an afterthought from Endgame.
There's good stuff in it. There was good stuff in it that I liked, but it's all kind of in service of something else.
Sure.
And so as a piece of the greater MCU universe, I like it. It's good. I enjoyed it. I like what they're doing with it. As a movie in and of itself. Yeah, there's been several MCU movies that are like that. Come back to be kind of beloved because of what they turn into later.
I guess so.
So
I think that's I think I'm not the greatest MCU fan. I think that's where it really comes down to. I like character movies, and this is not a character movie. The only closest, coolest character we get is Ned when you know he totally got laid on European vacation. That's the greatest character moment we got. He left America as a boy but came back as a man, as he says at the end of the movie.
So this is the movie we just disagree on then. I enjoyed it more than you
did. So where does this rank for you?
Oh, no,
Spider-Man
I enjoyed
movies?
It a great deal.
I enjoyed it too. I'm just acknowledging. Fun in parts.
Where did it rank for what? I'm sorry?
Where does this rank for you in Spider-Man movies?
Of them all?
Yeah.
Because
at one point you say Homecoming was like your number one.
Yeah, I mean, I need to watch Homecoming again. It's been a while.
I watched it again recently. It's
probably
good.
Maybe number 4 or 5.
So below what?
Okay, so Into the Spider-Verse is probably number 1.
Okay.
Maybe Spider-Man 2. And then at this point, maybe Homecoming and then Far From Home. I'm not quite sure at this point.
Okay.
I don't really know.
All right.
I need to give another watch to Homecoming.
See, so this is probably like right above Spider-Man 3 for me.
Okay. That's wow. All right.
So like I said, I enjoyed the movie thoroughly all the way through. I was having fun from beginning to end.
Yeah.
It's just that I recognize that in and of itself, it's not a great movie. It's only all its best stuff comes from outside of it.
Totally. Also, those Mysterio sequences though, where he's in the warehouse. And he's like,
yeah.
He doesn't know what's real.
Those were great sequences.
Those are great sequences.
They were really good.
The zombie Iron Man.
Just don't make sense
it
how
just
it
gave
worked.
Me high hope for a fucking Marvel Zombies movie. I'm like, oh,
wow, that was the reference that they were going for.
I know. It would have been awesome.
But, like, makes you think, though, like, that doesn't make sense how that worked out with drones.
It's a far-fetched concept.
A lot of it was like, wait, what?
But here's
Stark Tech.
That's why I went with it.
Yeah.
Because at this point, we've already just accepted into this universe that Stark Tech can just do it. It's magic.
Pretty much.
Stark Tech is magic. Okay.
I guess.
So I just rolled with it on that level because I had that same thought too. I'm like, how are you doing with this drones and projector shit? I'm like, oh yeah, it's Stark technology. It can do whatever the fuck it wants. Okay.
I guess so. A part of me really would have liked. I know it was all bullshit about the I'm from another universe, but part of me kind of feels like, man, wouldn't it have been great if a Mysterio from another universe teamed up with this Mysterio from this universe?
That's an interesting
idea.
And
them two teamed up to go against Spider-Man? That's what I was hoping for.
Okay.
And then we got the whole, like, Jake Gyllenhaal, like Nightcrawler version of him going kind of crazy and making like the movie's kind of like poking fun of making movies in general, especially in that bar scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the makeup artist.
Yeah, the makeup artist, the script writer, the special effects.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I was like, all right, so they're having fun about making movies. I get it.
All right, so let's move on to the last movie that came out this summer. At this point, which would be in Midsommar.
Midsommar.
It came out during the midsummer of Midsommar.
Yeah.
You saw it?
I did. I saw it a couple of nights ago.
I haven't seen Hereditary yet.
I haven't either.
So good.
So
easily one of my favorite horror
movies. Preface that. What did you think of Midsommar?
Midsommar. So it's a atmospheric folk horror movie.
I heard there's comedy in this as well. Is it a?
There are some comedic elements like levity. To the drama.
Okay, but it's not...
It's not like a laugh out film. Loud funny. No, not at all. This very much is a movie about grief. That being said, it's kind of boring.
Really?
It's kind of boring. I felt like it was a little repetitive.
I've heard multiple people say that it's about grief. How is it about grief? What do you mean?
So for me to tell you or to explain it, It would kind of spoil it a little bit. But once you've seen the first 5 minutes of the movie, you kind of know where it's going. They don't really pull any punches or they don't really like, oh, here's the big twist. They kind of tell you what's going to happen in the movie in the first 10, 15 minutes.
And so I take it then that from that point on, it then is a matter of dealing with the emotional implications of said event?
Is that really sort of
the movie's about?
Kind of. It's really about someone losing family members. That's the closest I could say. It's about someone losing family members in their life, and they're having a hard time dealing with it. And they're in this kind of relationship that's really falling apart, and they're kind of forced to go together to this trip.
Okay.
And they're going on this trip and you start to realize that the movie really banks on you being shocked by this odd culture of this folk culture, mm-hmm. which didn't really shock me because I've seen Wicker Man and I've seen Apostle and movies very similar to this folk horror aesthetic that they're going for. And I think that's why I got bored, because there's no real shock value here to grasp me. And and all the things they kept on doing with their characters for a 2.5 hour runtime, it felt a little repetitive.
Okay.
And at times it felt a little pretentious, because like, all right, you showed me what's going to happen in the movie, and then it happens in the movie. And then it just, I don't know, it just kind of ends without not really having anything to say, which is a real big letdown, because I loved Hereditary. Hereditary is a fantastic horror film.
That was on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, it is available on Amazon Prime. Okay. Same director and writer. Also the same A24, same company that made it. It's a bummer, but there's a lot of people out there who love it. It didn't hit me where I wanted to enjoy it.
Gotcha.
And I'm sure you'll find a cult following out there.
Because it's about a cult.
Yep. But don't.
Let's briefly mention a few other movies that are coming out soon. We have. What about Stuber? Are you guys interested in seeing that?
I never even heard of it before I saw a trailer morning.
Yeah, it looks funny as hell.
It looks like it could be funny.
I heard good things from South by Southwest, but that was the world premiere, and there's always good news from world premieres. I have tickets to go see Art of Self-Defense, which is the new Jesse Eisenberg movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is, what I understand, like an adult version of Napoleon Dynamite about a guy going to learn karate.
Okay.
Yeah. So it sounds funny and it looks interesting.
Then we have Happy Hogan, the version of The Lion King, July 19th.
Oh, Jon Favreau.
If you haven't watched, quick aside, if you haven't watched his chef show on Netflix, it's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a reality show, right?
No, not really. Him and Roy Choi, they talk to celebrities and they cook with celebrities and they
it's not scripted. It's a reality show.
You think reality? It's like, no, not really like a reality show, but it's like a cooking show.
You're thinking reality show in terms of like some kind of competition.
It's a non-scripted show.
Yes.
Right? Like they just they go to different, like a travel show.
Yes, exactly.
See, a travel show is what I would call a reality TV.
I think reality TV is different,
okay,
in my opinion. Whatever.
Miscommunication on that. It's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then in the months we have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Whoop, whoop.
Can't wait for that.
Don't forget Hobbs and Shaw following week.
I will forget that. I've never seen one Fast and Furious.
I haven't either. But,
maybe part
but
of the first point.
Have you seen the trailer for this movie?
At this point,
it looks stupid.
At this point, every trailer that comes out for a new Fast and Furious movie, I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to have to watch these fucking movies. These look stupid as shit and like a lot of fun.
At a certain point, you're just like, all right, this is no way this is going to ever happen. Wow, this is weird.
Yeah, and like now I want to watch them because it just looks stupid and fun.
Because they're like superheroes in a car.
Yeah, this one, apparently The Rock is going to bring his whole family onto the set, and they're going to Maori fight a bunch of guys with guns, and I am there for that. I am like, okay.
Idris Elba is like a genetically enhanced human being.
Jason Statham is fucking always great, too. I might see this, I don't know.
Then August, you have Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
You know what?
Yeah.
We're going to go see that movie.
Are you really?
Our kids don't care.
Oh.
They want to go too. But like this thing looks so tongue in cheek. Like the whole thing looks like a joke about itself. And so I think we're going to go. I think we're going to go see that one.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Yeah, the trailer looks terrible.
I haven't seen the trailer yet, truthfully.
So Scary Stories
Del Toro is producing it, right?
Yeah.
He's one of the producers on it.
Scary Stories is a foundational element of my development I'm going to go see it.
So it looks like Goosebumps, but for adults.
That's a problem.
Have you seen the movie Goosebumps with Jack Black?
I don't care to.
It's just plot line looks exactly the same.
Let me put it this way. Is Goosebumps became big after Scary Stories.
Sure, yeah.
My age group coming up we were the Scary Stories group. Yeah. We were edgier and darker than those fucking Goosebumps nerds, right?
Man, you're hating on R.L. Stein.
I am hating on R.L. Stein. But there were some actual like tonal differences. The Goosebumps stories tended to have happy endings. Yeah, they were made for children. The Scary Stories books were also made for children, and that's totally fucked up, you guys. Those books were made for children.
They were. I remember these books.
And I still have multiple copies. George gave me a stack of them for Christmas.
The one was with the original art.
With the original art. Thank you very much, because that's what the books are about, really, is the art.
I remember reading those in elementary school.
I love the Scary Stories.
Have you seen the trailer, the newest trailer for Are You Afraid of the
Dark? I'm worried about it, so I'm staying away from watching stuff about it.
All right.
So, you know, sometimes you'll like not watch trailers or read reviews or whatever because you're really excited. I'm kind of the opposite. I'm not watching this stuff because I'm worried about it. I'm like, don't tell me it's going to be bad.
Now, speaking of Jack Black real quick, did you know he's a vlogger now?
I mean, he always been?
He has a YouTube channel called Jablinski Games.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty crazy and weird.
Also, Tenacious D is touring again.
Yep, they're coming here on my birthday.
Yeah, I want to go, but tickets are a little pricey.
They are, but right now there's a special where there's no ticket charges this week. We still have to pay a shitload for the tickets, though.
Yep. At least for what it is.
All right, so...
And there's also a couple of more movies that I don't know if anybody's talked about yet.
Playmobil the movie?
Yes. No. After Hobbs and Shaw, there is a movie called Good Boys, and that comes out August 16th. It is the Seth Rogen and Company's comedy.
Oh, yeah.
It's about these teenagers trying to get their drone back.
Yep.
And they end up going on a wild adult sex and drugs filled odyssey. And it looks fun. And then there's this other movie that I just recently saw a trailer for just a couple of days ago. And it's the last week of the summer. It's called Ready or Not. And
I'm not even seeing this.
That movie looks awesome. It's basically they're having like an engagement party, or these people are about to get married. And he's like, hey, before you can be part of the family, you have to do this ritual with my family. And the ritual is, see if you can survive the night.
Okay.
And they basically play this game, and one of the game is hide and seek, and everyone's trying to kill the bride-to-be.
Wow.
It looks a little funny, and it looks awesomely gory. I'll make y'all guys watch a trailer after we record.
So, there you go. That's interesting. Let's move on. We still have to get some metal in here and then find out what's tickling our geeks and wrap it up.
Whoop, whoop.
All right.
I don't know.
That's what you're going to go with. All right.
Kick it.
Like the Beastie Boys.
Metal time.
All right. Let's go with that.
All right.
Go on.
Oh, I don't know the name of the bands we saw.
So are we talking about?
Yeah.
Well, before we started recording, we were just kind of hanging out and being goofy, and we were watching kind of goofy metal stuff on YouTube. Part of this came up because I've had multiple people in the last week tag me in this music video from Nanowar of Steel, who we've talked about on the show.
Nanowar of Steel.
Nanowar of Steel, which is a joke on Manowar and a joke on Rhapsody of Fire.
Yep.
This is a joke metal band from Italy.
Italy, that's correct.
And Italia.
They have a new music video out that is Norwegian reggaeton, which is reggaeton. Like a weird... It's a reggae kind of pop,
it's like
hip-hop
if
thing
Pitbull made a
about
metal song.
Norwegian black metal.
That's right. One of the lines that they want to dance was...
Want to dance with Varg and Euronymous? Was that the line? Or was
Euronymous,
it? No, it was...
Hellhammer and Varg.
Hellhammer and Varg, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. And all in not in English.
It's in multiple languages.
Yes.
Some of it's in English, some of it is, I assume, in Italian, Spanish. Some of it's in Spanish. Yeah. It was bizarre. And the subject matter has to do with Norwegian black metal, and so some of the people in the video are in corpse paint.
Mm.
But otherwise, the video doesn't have anything to do with black metal.
Nope.
Or anything.
No, they're very much on a beach with, like,
it's a rap
popping.
Video with people in black metal
paint.
Makeup.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
more metal videos should take this approach.
Yeah. In the song, it's totally something if you would hear on, like, pop radio.
It is.
Completely.
What did you think? This is our George Hates Metal segment.
That's right.
And it's not even really metal, but it is.
Sort of.
So what do you think?
I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
The video definitely complimented the song. So if I would have heard just the song, I was like, oh, that's neat. They making fun of pop reggaeton, like Pitbull and stuff. But if I didn't have the video to compliment the song, I probably would have just kind of
pawned
it off.
Yeah, it only kind of works as a piece.
Right.
Yeah.
But with the video, it's quite funny and, you know, sexy ladies popping their booties to metal music.
If George tends to like.
That's right. Who doesn't?
See, they had...
And there was another one y'all played, too, about gargoyles.
Yeah,
I thought
that was pretty funny, too. There was another Nanowar video about a guy in a bar...
confessing his love for
lamenting this. Well, it starts out he's lamenting this bad date that he went on,
right?
Where he all of a sudden realized his date was a gargoyle.
So
totally.
And the band originally started out as just Nanowar,
right?
And
they added the of Steel.
They added of Steel to make fun of Rhapsody of Fire.
Yeah,
that even makes it funnier.
It does.
How's that funny?
Well, because Rhapsody did the same thing. Rhapsody
so sort of
started
off.
As Rhapsody, and then there was a split in the band, and so to, like, claim territory, Rhapsody was changed to Rhapsody of Fire.
And then there was Luca Turilli.
Luca Turilli's.
Now, just last week, Luca Turilli and Fabio Leone put out a Rhapsody album.
That also just now clicked with me that Rhapsody is also an Italian band.
Yes.
So that's probably also part of the joke.
For sure.
Home turf.
Yeah.
Yeah, home turf jokes.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, it's cool. They sound competently music.
That was the thing that struck me is the music itself is well done.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's totally goofy, total joke.
Totally.
But the music is serious.
I mean, he's making out with a gargoyle at the end of the video.
So some of their album titles are fucking funny just in themselves. Triumphs of True Metal of Steel. Other... Other bands play Nanowar Gay.
Okay.
Which is a play off the Manowar,
yeah.
Into Gay Pride Ride. A Night at the Opera, a K-N-I-G-H-T, mm-hmm. was making fun of the
Blind Guardian.
Night
at the Opera.
Stairway to Valhalla was the last album. Came out November 2018, actually, was the last album. So.
Just had a play on Stairway to Heaven?
I would assume so.
All right. Yeah. There you go. I got that one.
So then
deliver us. Valhalla. Come on.
What did you say?
I said Valhalla. I was going to be stuck in your head, and you're welcome.
Holla to your mama.
The Black Guardian song?
Yes.
It doesn't take much to get that song.
No, it does not.
Yeah. So yeah, we checked them out. It was fun. Goofy. We also checked out Bloodywood, who is an Indian heavy metal band.
Mm-hmm.
I brought these guys in after we had talked about the Nanowar thing. I was checking these guys out a few weeks ago. To me, it's just really interesting how cross-cultural heavy metal music
is.
Is.
Yeah.
it's spread all around the world, and everywhere it goes, it soaks up local flavors.
Sure, yeah, that makes
and
sense.
That's an interesting process to me. And so that's what I enjoy about the Bloody Wood stuff. I'm not going to listen to it every day. It's not like my favorite stuff, but I enjoy listening to it because it's like,
well,
here's
it's
what
hard
India,
to understand what they're talking about.
I listen to a lot of music that I don't speak the language of the people that are singing, so that doesn't bother me. It's cool though to get this Indian take on.
Yeah, you can really hear it, especially in the drums and that particular drum that they play.
Yeah.
And we talked about it's very early 2000s, like Soulfly style.
Yeah, it really gave me heavy Soulfly vibes. Yeah. The first two songs we listened to.
It was good. I mean, this stuff was actually in the sort of like the Indian influences, the Bollywood stuff that they combined together.
Yeah. And they seem like
worked for them,
genuine
for sure.
Cool dudes.
Yeah. And they're playing...
Like a System of a Down before they got popular.
And they're going on tour soon?
Yeah.
On the Raj Against the Machine
the Raj
tour.
Against the Machine. So that's the other thing is they also are very humorous.
Yeah.
Not in the same way that Nanowar is, where it's just about like slapstick goofiness.
Yeah.
They have a sense of humor about themselves. They don't take it too seriously. But they also are singing about a lot of really like... positive and uplifting things, and like empowering people to
important
stand up against
thing,
injustice,
yeah.
And this like so there's like serious messages there, but then they're just like happy and having fun with it too, and I kind of like that about it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So
yeah.
They did a song called G Veery, which is dedicated to fighting depression and mental illness, and they released a song called Endurant, a song dealing with the topic of bullying. So These are fucking serious subjects, you know.
Word.
They are words, yes, you're correct.
Hindu words.
Most of them are. They're going to be playing Wacken Open Air as well.
They are scheduled for Wacken this year.
Hopefully
so
they show
them
live on the live stream.
That would be cool. I would want to check that out.
I want to see them.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't get panned by everybody.
I don't think so.
Hopefully they just have a good crowd.
I think they will.
Festivals like that usually... are very open. That's a lot.
Well, and Wacken itself is so diverse.
Yeah,
in the kinds
for sure.
of it's you know the mecca of metal festivals, but that's of all metal. I mean, they play everything at Wacken, and so I think they're likely to have a good reception there.
That's good. I hope so. I mean, not that I love their music or anything, but I think they're interesting enough and different enough to have a good listening core group. And if they ever transition to doing more English-speaking stuff, they might find a following in the people who have affinity for that new metal sound.
Yeah, so the vocalist reminds me. He does a lot of heavy gruffs, growls and stuff, but
yeah.
He does have a Serge from like System of a Down style to his voice as well.
Yeah. Same thing with that. What was the name of that rapper?
I don't know.
Raul?
Like, Raul. There you go. Raul.
Yeah, the most
non-Indian sounding name ever.
Maybe. They're good. I mean, they
for what they
style.
Are, they're good, yeah.
Do you remember, because a lot of bands out there that do that stuff, you remember that band Puya?
Puya.
No, P-U-Y-A.
I never listened to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were very much like this, but they were, I think they were... I don't remember if they were from Mexico or what, where they're from, but they influenced like a lot of that
Latin,
style.
Latin sounds and stuff?
Yeah, maybe they were Latin American. I can't remember exactly where they were from, but... And then you know, you got bands like Miras and Orphanland doing
Melikesh.
All that. Melikesh.
I love Melikesh.
Yes. Doing all that Middle Eastern influences, but...
Where are the Greek bands, Greek metal bands? Where are those
there
guys?
There are a lot
there
of
are.
Greek bands.
There are.
Yeah, but they all suck.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Firewind.
Are they a Greek metal band?
Yeah.
Oh, they probably suck.
no, they do not, actually.
Just
Rotting Christ?
I don't know.
Rotting
I've never
Christ,
really...
Yeah, that's who I was trying to remember.
Isn't Flesh God Apocalypse Greek?
Where Flesh
are
God,
they really?
No, Flesh
no,
God Apocalypse
Italian.
Is Italian.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because they're very operatic for a Greek band.
There's another Greek band I got into recently, and I'm like, oh, Georgia like this, they're Greek.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. All right.
So there you go. Some kind of metal.
It's the Weird Al of metal.
There you go.
Nanowar.
The UHF of metal.
That's right. So that brings us to the end of the episode. I don't have anything tickling my geek this week, so we'll just forget it.
I guess we're skipping that one this
week. Yeah, I took my anti.
We did talk about a lot of movies, and we talked about upcoming movies, which I'm excited for.
That's very true.
There's that.
So, of course, you can find us on our website at metalgeeks.net to keep up with all the geekery. Find us on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Metal Geeks, as well as our sister show at MSR Cast. You can subscribe to us on and listen to us on iTunes, leave a review, let all your friends know about it. You can find us on Stitcher and Spotify and any other cool places where you can find your own podcast. You can also find us on ESONetwork.com, which are good friends over there. And, of course, our website, MetalGeeks.net. Anything else?
Keep it metal.
What about you guys?
Oh, keep. What about me?
Where they can find you?
I don't know. Where can they find me? They can find me right here on this podcast.
Well, they know you live by Katie Mills Mall because you said that earlier. Now
I don't live by Katie Mills Mall. It's just the closest AMC theater.
We'll give out your address on next episode.
Next episode, we'll really narrow it down.
And Google search them.
I probably am Google searchable.
Maybe.
So you can find me at George Tripsis on all social medias. It's very easy to find.
Find me at Red Viking Dave on your various social medias.
That's it.
Making awesome art.
That's right.
Thank you.
So that's it. Let's wrap it up. We will see you guys on the next episode.
Keeping it metal.
Keeping it geeky.
Always. Bisaches.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, a podcast obsessed with comic books, Saturday morning cartoons, conventions, music, stuff from the 70s and 80s that nobody else remembers, and chickens. It'll be the silliest half hour of your week. You can find us at flopcast.net and on the ESO Network.
I'm the mayor of Chicken Town, and I approve this message.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.